And now, it's time for the biggest bonanza in podcasting. With Dominic Stern and Nicholas Hodel, this is the College Basketball Bonanza!
There goes the recording of this College Basketball Bonanza. Happy to have you alongside for those. On the podcast platforms, Nicholas Hodel, Dominic Stern, Dom Cassini, joining us via Zoom from Columbus, Ohio, this evening. And for those on the podcast platforms, we'll get you going with the discussion of the automatic bids. Murray State, Longwood, Loyola Chicago. Murray State Saturday night, Longwood and Loyola Chicago on Sunday, getting the job done. And let's just start the discussion with going through each of the games themselves. Murray State was given everything they possibly could have wanted by Morehead State, but Murray State got the job done, and it just really just kind of shows the kind of test that Murray State was given in the last few weeks of the season, Mr. Contini, and Murray State was able to withstand them all in the Ohio Valley Conference.
Yeah, I was very impressed with this Murray State team, with their ability to fight. Their best player all year, KJ Williams, only scoring 8 points in the final game, but with his teammates Justice Hill and Tevin Brown being able to combine for 45 points, just showed how deep this team is. And I think this Murray State team is going to be very dangerous come March, in a team that a lot of high seeds aren't going to want to play.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I hope the goodness that Murray State doesn't get on the 8 or 9 lines, because this is a team that They may not be this year's Loyola Chicago last year, but they're a really solid team, as they've proven.
Well, and the bracket matrix has them on the 7 line prior to last night's game. And Boise State also lost yesterday. USC lost. Those are two of the other teams that are higher than them on the 7 line on the bracket matrix. So you might see them jump up in front of them. Other teams might fall down. Of course, that was one of Murray State's better wins of the year, because adding a win over a quality team like Morehead State, I imagine that probably fell in the Q2, maybe even Q3 range, but still playing in the OVC, that gives you a lot of not-so-great opportunities, because you're playing not a lot of great teams. I'm buying time so I can find this. But for them to get tested like they were, I mean, you're going to get tested when you play these better teams that Murray State hasn't played a lot throughout the year. And I now have the page pulled up. That was a Q3 win. But still, for them to pick that up, you know, they had in 4 of their last 5 games before that, they were Q4 games. So they were tested. And it was very impressive for Murray State. And like you mentioned, Nick, if they get on that 7 line, that's going to give them a better chance to move deeper in this tournament, because not only are you not playing a 9, you're playing a 10. But then if you win, you're presumably playing a 2 seed in the next round, barring a collapse, which We saw a 2 seed fall last year, and I don't think we need to talk any further on that.
Yeah, at least not to Mr. Contini about that.
Oh, well, you didn't have to bring that up to him, Nick. Come on, that's a low blow.
Oh, man. But I mean, just looking at the grand scheme of at least this year's field, man, all kinds of teams quit the national championship. I mean, it's not just the 1 seeds within this year. I mean, there's several 2s that can also get the job done, so any of the top, I would imagine, 7 teams are going to be a very tough out in this field. But, you know, that's why we play the games. You know, you just never know what's going to end up happening. And so Murray State, they have been the class of the OVC, and they're going to be making the jump to the Valley next year along with Belmont. And so that'll make things very fascinating in the years to come for them. How about the Longwood Lancers and the way they were able to just destroy Winthrop? I was actually very disappointed in Winthrop. I honestly thought they would have a much better performance than what they did. But Longwood, they got the 3s when they needed to, and that was a big reason of why Longwood utterly destroyed Winthrop in the Big South Championship, continuing.
Yeah, I would say none of us 3 expected this. Like, Winthrop's a team that's been there, done that. We talked about this in our space last night. Like, Winthrop's a team that's been there before, and we all thought that they were going to be able to dominate this Longwood team today. Maybe not dominate, but pull out a win. But Longwood showed that they can shoot the ball, and they're a team that you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, Longwood. I mean, it just took them bouncing back to get up in their first two games. And then once they really faced the premier competition of the Big South and Winthrop, they were able to pound them. And for them to come out and pound a really good team like Winthrop, they're probably not going to be on the 12 line. I mean, that's just because the Big South doesn't really get up there. But for Longwood, they're going to have a chance to really open some eyes. If they get a good matchup, they've proven, all right, we can beat a team that a lot of people think is tournament caliber, has that reputation for getting into March. If they're on the 14 or the 15 line, we'll see what their matchup looks like. But for them to just get this banner in their arena, get the chance to play in an NCAA tournament, it's going to help out the program a lot, because we've talked about this a ton. They're not a historic program in the Big South by any stretch of the imagination. So for them to do this, it's certainly an accomplishment.
Yeah, this is their first ever NCAA tournament appearance. This is the first time they've had a team as good as what they've had this year. And just coached Griff Aldridge's fourth year on the job, a team that, as an independent, never really impressed, hardly get out of the top 300. They had 1 year in KenPom, but it just hardly ever happened. Coach Jason Agee was the exact same way, didn't do much. But Griff Aldridge has taken this team to heights that was never even thought of for Longwood. And if they can even play a 2-seed close, should they get to that 15 line, it's going to do wonders for their university. As the teams have become the darlings of America, typically there's a huge boost that comes with that in terms of the financials and the enrollment that comes in the years to come. So it's a huge moment in the history of that university. And I would expect Longwood to represent themselves as well as they can in the NCAA tournament. And then Loyola Chicago, the Missouri Valley champion, Drake gave them quite a heck of a run in that game. But in the end, Loyola Chicago was just too much for Drake. And this really takes any sweat off the board for Loyola Chicago. I mean, the bubble teams across the country have had quite a good week, with Murray State and Loyola Chicago taking auto bids and taking away any part of the equation of any bid steals whatsoever.
Yeah, no, they got everything they would hope for. So, I mean, that's really all there is to that about the bubble teams. But for Loyola Chicago to bounce back after finishing the regular season on a rough stretch, having to serve as the road team wearing their colored uniforms instead of their white uniforms, you know, it's something they haven't done a lot. And, I mean, obviously that doesn't really matter. But, like, just being that psychological underdog could help you out. Loyola Chicago certainly has played that in the NCAA tournament. And then, of course, the one time that people were, like, actually giving them, like, oh, wow, they could do this, it was Oregon State. They're up at halftime against Michigan in the Final Four, and they fall there. But for Drew Valentine in his first year to lead this team back to the NCAA tournament, I think that says a lot about what he's going to do with this program. And I know Dom certainly agrees with me there.
Yeah, I love Drew Valentine, brother of Denzel Valentine, former Spartan. This Loyal Chicago team is going to be very scary. I love their point guard in Braden Morris, Columbus, Ohio made. And this team showed resilience through this tournament. They showed they belong, and they're not really scared of anyone. So in March Madness, anything can happen, especially when you have Sister Jean on your side. So I'm looking forward to this team in March.
You're absolutely right, man. I'll just say this, and I don't care. It may not even be Loyola Chicago, but if they end up going up against Houston, or whoever goes up against Houston, I'm not picking Houston. I mean, they haven't beat anyone good.
We're going to fade Houston.
Oh, yeah. We're absolutely fading Houston.
See, I said that going into the tournament last year with Villanova, and they just crushed that. But, yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, Houston, they've looked good against the mediocre teams against in the American. And not just good. They've looked, like, great. But then you throw them out there against Memphis, and Memphis has beat them twice, including on their home court. They got pounded today.
Yeah, no quad one wins for Houston.
We'll see if they pick up any in the American tournament. But
I honestly doubt it.
Yeah, obviously with the way that they have been playing lately, you don't know. And losing Mark and Sasser early hurts them. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, and I guess the point here is that Loyola Chicago not only was going to give Houston a good game, I definitely think they'd beat them. I mean, I really do. And it almost goes for any of the quality teams that Houston would be expected to face. Of course, matchups do matter, but with that aside, Murray State, Longwood, Loyola Chicago, tremendous achievements this year for their programs, and especially for what Drew Valentine has done, to what you were saying, Dom. I got a feeling he will not be there too long.
I mean, yeah. I think you're going to have to see some teams see how far he can go. Dom, did he go to Michigan State too?
No, he went to Oakland.
He went to Oakland. Okay. Yep. So, I mean, I doubt there would be like some Tom Izzo retirement path for him back to Michigan State. I mean, you wouldn't put that out of the equation, but yeah, I mean, I agree. But it was kind of shocking how long why am I blanking on his name? Oh, it's going to anger me. Hold on, I'll get it. From Loyola Chicago, now at Oklahoma. How long Porter Moser was there after leading Loyola Chicago to the Final Four in 2018. He coached the next 3 years for Loyola Chicago. I mean, that was kind of shocking.
Yeah, and I do think if Valentine does what he is doing in the Atlantic 10 going forward, where Loyola Chicago is going after this year, that might turn some heads.
That will. And obviously, he's really, really young. So if you're these power programs who are looking to hire your next head coach, you're going to want to see him do it a couple of times. But, I mean, for him in year one to lead this program that has all eyes on them back, I mean, that's certainly impressive.
Let's carry on within our program here to the other conferences who will be contesting their conference championships over the next 3 days. And I want to start off with the Southern Conference. We have been discussing quite a bit about Chattanooga and Furman as being the class of that conference. I believe that's going to be the final, if I'm not mistaken. Chattanooga and Furman?
Correct.
So we will get...
You're correct.
Yeah, so we will get the dream matchup within this conference. Chattanooga and Furman on Monday at 7 Eastern time. And this is going to be quite the matchup between these two teams. If everything at stake... for both of these teams, they both have been very impressive analytically, and whichever team it is, I think they'll have a shot come March Madness to try and really do some damage.
Yeah, currently in the bracket matrix, Chattanooga is given the auto bid because they were the one seed won this conference in the regular season. 13 seed at the moment, and that's with South Dakota State and Iona as the only other at-larges. I mean, North Texas, too. Or not at-larges, but auto bids in front of them. So we'll see if other teams steal some bids and if they can move up to the 12th seed or whatnot. But these two teams are absolutely going to be a very popular upset pick no matter who wins between Chattanooga and Furman. Chattanooga won both games in the regular season. On February 12th, Chattanooga won at Furman 64-58. And then January 15th, Chattanooga beat Furman by 2 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So that'll be a really fun contest on Monday. Wish there were more standalone games on this fine Monday because I would love to do something in the Bureau. love to distract myself from all the content that we'll be producing to post on Twitter. Make sure to follow us at College Bonanza on Twitter to see the rest of our conference breakdowns, any graphics giving you any information about these tournaments. You want to make sure to follow us on Twitter at College Bonanza.
Yeah, and I'll just pose this, even just continue. Should Furman be the one that wins the conference tournament on Monday, I don't think Furman would be too far behind Chattanooga in which they'd be placed.
Yeah, these teams have dominated this conference all year. Yes, like Dom stated, Chattanooga beat Furman both times they met. But Furman can claim a vengeance against this team this week in the conference championship. So they've been very similar all year. So I think you are correct, Hodel, that they would be placed somewhat similar in March. So,
yeah, and Nick, to your point, Chattanooga 69th in KenPom, Furman is 74th. And then according to the net, Chattanooga is 69th, Furman is 80th. So I can only imagine there would be a couple of teams that would slot in between them. And obviously, there's only two or three teams that can really get those auto bids and sneak in their way. So, I mean, whether the NCAA tournament committee views these teams as 13s or 12s, I don't think it matters which team wins.
Yeah, and just to put the two side by side, There's no monumental difference other than Furman's strength of record rank is quite a bit below Chattanooga's, but that's really the only major difference. I mean, all the analytics are, you know, somewhat similar to each other. There's been a massive difference in the KPI. Strength of schedule ranks are very, very similar. As far as the Quad 2 and Quad 3 losses, they're pretty similar to each other as well in that regard. Chattanooga is the only one that has the Quad 1 win. But you're looking at a situation that would be very favorable for the Southern Conference getting a pretty favorable seed, no matter which of the teams it is. And it is the deserving final. I mean, KenPom's got this as a one-point game. So it's going to be an absolute war in the Southern Conference. Over in the Sun Belt, there's still, as we are taping our show, there is still some stuff to be decided as to what the final match is going to be. But how about the Raging Cajuns?
Woo!
They have done some work in Pensacola, Florida, over the course of the last couple of days, and they have earned themselves a spot on Monday's final. And they took out Troy 66-57 in the semifinal, took out the one seed Texas State 79-72, and right now Georgia State is ahead at halftime 38-29. So that would be a possible Louisiana Georgia State matchup. But let's get some props to the Raging Cajuns here, Contini.
Yeah, I predicted this. Well, I didn't predict this, but Texas State has never been good on that one line, and Raging Cajuns, like Dom said in our space yesterday, where you can find on College Bonanza on Twitter.
Yes, Dom, let's
every
go.
Every night throughout this month of March. but this Raging Cajuns team is really fun. They have the best mascot in college basketball, so I'm very like surprised, but like this team is interesting.
Yeah, before I get your thought in, let's not forget that Louisiana had to play a first round game this past Thursday too.
Mm-hmm.
They've won 3 in a row in the conference tournament. They've won 6 of their last 7 overall.
Well, and it's funny because they skipped by UT Arlington, which was Louisiana the 9.
Louisiana was the 8.
Okay, so 8-9, they win by 3. And then they face the 1, they win by 7. Then today they win by 9. So they're getting better, you know, by point differential as these games go along. So a very impressive showing from the Raging Cajuns. They've shown that they can win a close defensive match, 67-64. They can win a higher scoring game, 79-72. And they can also control a game, like against Troy, winning 66-57. So whether or not they play Georgia State, Ron Hunter University, or Appalachian State, the conference's representative last year, I think it'll be interesting. And last year, when Appalachian State won this conference tournament and got into the tournament, they were in the first 4. They went 7-8 in conference play. And then this year, you look at Louisiana, they went 8-9 in conference play. So if Louisiana does win this conference, I'd imagine they're probably going to be on the 16 line. Whether that's in the first 4 or not, that's probably where they're going to find themselves. And then Appalachian State or Georgia State, they'll probably find themselves on the 15 line and maybe even sneak up onto the 14 line. It's going to be interesting. And let me tell you guys, I've been rooting hard for Louisiana, because if they win, I'd imagine they'll slot in below the Dolphins. And if the Dolphins can move up to the 15 line, that's what I want. Obviously, the Dolphins have to win, but I'm living in the world where hopefully the Dolphins win.
Oh, man. We'll give you an opportunity to get that sent out of the way later on.
Let's go.
But Louisiana, what they've done throughout the week also, that they have improved offensively and not turning the ball over as much. They're one of the worst teams in the country in offensive turnover percentage, but they've improved throughout the week as far as their turnover numbers go on offense. Against Troy, they only turned the ball over 10 times, and they actually won the turnover battle. So yep, that's one of the big weaknesses in the overall profile, but they've really improved on. And so that is really what's driving the big Louisiana success at the moment. And we've been talking a lot about Jacksonville. We got quite the situation in the ACC under the transitional rules. If Bowerman, the other Jacksonville opponent, wins at Freedom Hall, which Freedom Hall hosted an important college basketball again. How about that?
Let's go.
How about that? The history of that building and not getting Jose Nason tournament championship game. And if Bowerman wins, Jacksonville State is in the tournament as the regular season champion due to transitional rules.
This is stupid. So the first stupid thing is the fact that the NCAA has this transition rule where these programs have to be in Division I for 4 years before being able to compete in their championships. That is stupid number one. Stupid number two. How on earth is Jacksonville State going to get this auto bid after they lost to Jacksonville and Jacksonville makes it to the championship? That is beyond blasphemy. The Dolphins should so first off, Bellarmine should have a chance to play into the NCAA tournament. I mean, that is the first thing. But secondly, since they can't, Jacksonville should already have their ticket punched into the NCAA tournament. This is some blasphemy. I want to be going ee! During the NCAA tournament because the Dolphins are electric. They play defense just like mad. They force turnovers. They make threes. I love the Dolphins. The Dolphins need to be in the NCAA tournament so that I can responsibly put $5 on the money line.
Responsibly. Continue. Are we eking over there in Ohio?
I'm very on the Jacksonville train. It's been fun listening to Dom do the last couple of days and weeks following this Jacksonville path. It is ridiculous the situation that is in this conference with Jacksonville State rooting against them, even though they just beat them. It's all stupid. The NCAA is stupid. We could get into that conversation another time, but I am on the Jacksonville train, certainly.
Yeah, and that will be a really fun championship game on Tuesday. I know some of my high school friends go to Bowerman, so they're going to have quite a night over there in that particular campus. And that will be quite a night for Bowerman and their university's history. You know, that is pretty much, that's it for them. You know, that is pretty much their Super Bowl, to put it in their sports terms. They're going to be coming out. They got absolutely nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dangerous thing.
Right. They're either going to get a banner or they're not. And their season's going to end regardless of what happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, what more dangerous opponent than that, especially when that team's at home as well?
No pressure.
Yeah. Absolutely no pressure. There. That will be quite the fun over there. Let's go to the Northeast Conference next. I've got the list, and I got all of these papers, and it's just me shifting through the papers at the moment.
Bryant versus Wagner.
Yes, this is a matchup I am very, very excited for. I thought the matchup between them on the final Saturday of that regular season for the Northeast Conference regular season championship was a lot of fun in Bryant's home gym. We're going to get the rematch. Same place, a lot more stakes, though.
Yep. Wagner's been the much better team all year. They've rebounded in this tournament after losing their final two games, and they've done so in dominant fashion. I'm going to be looking for how do they respond. Obviously, this is going to be a bitter taste in their mouth after Bryant was able to get that done. But I happen to know of someone who goes to Bryant, and that stadium's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be quite the atmosphere. It's one of the best atmospheres in those small colleges up on the Northeast Coast in New England, and that's going to be a big opportunity. We've already seen some crazy crowds in Rhode Island this year, obviously, for Providence, but, I mean, some of those fans are going to be supporting Bryant, and the way Bryant gets up and down the floor, they can change the tide in a game really quickly and get that crowd back into the game. So I think that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch, and this, you're going to be locked into this game.
Yeah, and Coach Jared Grasso, you know, increasingly over the course of time has gotten this team to play at a very fast tempo, the number 6 fast tempo in the country now for the second consecutive year, should that rank hold at the moment. But, you know, there's something about, you know, these mid-major gyms hosting conference tournament games with a packed house in the building. We were robbed of it last year. Bryant, in particular, was robbed of it last year. Now we get to see a program play in front of its fans to try and lock up its first ever NCAA tournament bid. And just like for Longwood, the pressure is definitely on Bryant, but a whole different situation, Katini.
Yeah, and the home advantage in conference tournaments is a thing of beauty. And And like Dom said, the way Brian plays, how fast they play is very, very fun to watch. I'm very looking forward to this game. And this is what March is all about. So.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that one there. One more conference before we move on to some other topics here, the West Coast Conference. And it's a conference that has seen the top four seeds in the semi. So Gonzaga and San Francisco will face off in the early game on Monday. St. Mary's and Santa Clara will play in the late game, pretty much after dark, for the East Coasters out there. And the casualty here is BYU. Not a very good final impression. I can't imagine they're going to get in.
No, they're not, and they don't deserve to be. They buried their own grave, and it's unfortunate because they are one of the best programs in this conference. And if you would have told us at the beginning of the year that BYU would be the team that cost this conference four bids, that would have been shocking. And obviously, I mean, it's not as shocking as per se Gonzaga, but we all knew that was not going to happen. But for BYU to waste another year with Alex Barcelo, I mean, that's unfortunate. They made it to the tournament last year, got the sixth seed, and then did nothing with it. So if you're Mark Pope and you're the BYU basketball program, you've got a bad taste in your mouth, and we'll see how they come out next year.
Yeah, you very much so. And it's just the way they played against San Francisco, which is not good. I mean, even if it's a much closer game, I mean, even if they got a bit of a better taste in our mouths, you know, maybe the conversation is taking a slightly different direction, but not to be for the BYU Cougars. Meanwhile, though, Gonzaga, San Francisco, St. Mary's, pretty much in. I don't think there's any question about those three schools. Santa Clara, we've been talking all year about Santa Clara as being the team that has just been lurking, and the team that you can't underestimate because the Fighting Herb Sendex will get to you if you do. Well, here's Santa Clara. They got a tough road ahead of themselves, but they can win two more games on Monday and Tuesday. Guess what? They got a big steal.
Hey, Illinois just won the Big Ten. 74-72. Fans are on the court.
Wow. How about that?
Sorry to interrupt there. But...
And they clinched the one seed, too. Right. Wisconsin losing to Nebraska today.
Oh, wow. This is a madhouse in Champaign. Wow. Holy moly.
Oh, man.
Johnny Davis is going to be out for a while, too.
Yeah, no, Wisconsin's in trouble. Anyways, we're talking about the West Coast Conference.
And Santa Clara in particular. I want to get Spencer Cantini here. Santa Clara is a team that I don't think you want to underestimate whatsoever.
No.
Especially in this conference. And they're a scary team. Like you said, Nick, they've been lurking all year. And with a chance to go up against Gonzaga, that's a game everyone wants in this conference, a game that you can steal, as we saw with St. Mary's the other night. And yeah, their story in this tournament has been certainly wild.
Yeah, very much so. And Santa Clara's just been that team that you really don't, I keep saying you don't want to underestimate them, but their offense can really cause all kinds of problems for pretty much anybody. It's not a team that you want, it's not a team you really want to have to deal with at all.
Yeah, you guys want to hear the teams they've lost to this year?
Let's hear it.
Gonzaga, St. Mary's, San Francisco. Those are the only teams they've lost in the year of 2022. Obviously, before that, had a couple of losses that have really caused their chances at being an at-large team, but this team, fifth nationally in three-point shooting, 16th in effective field goal percentage, the 26th in adjusted efficiency on offense, 24th in tempo. I mean, they could go like that. And all of a sudden, if you're out ahead of St. Mary's, who likes to slow it down, and obviously Gonzaga's going to play at a similar pace as Santa Clara, but, I mean, if they're really making shots like Herb Sendek wants to, this team can absolutely win the West Coast Conference Tournament. I don't think they will, but they can.
Yeah, and I was just about to mention that tempo difference that might make all the difference if we're just being completely honest between St. Mary's and Santa Clara. That may very well make all the difference between that semifinal. And if Santa Clara wins that, Buffalo teams got to sweat again. But I feel like barring a massive upset, I think that they'll be a lot more at ease with this one than the other two games that they have been having to sweat. But those are just the a prime selection of them. I'll go through one more on the horizon. The semifinal set for Monday between Cleveland State and Rice State, Purdue, Fort Wayne, and Northern Kentucky. This conference, after being crazy last year, has shown the value of home court advantage. That goes out the window in the Indiana Farmers Coliseum the next couple of days between these four teams. And the Horizon League has had some teams in a very decent position the last, you know, several years. This year, it's not looking like that'll be the same case again, as the defensive numbers of all the teams in the conference aren't very good. No one's in the positives as far as the adjusted efficiency margin, but still a lot to play for in a conference title race that was very, very close in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it, these teams got the chance to play their way into March, and that's always exciting.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right on that. So let's move along to some of the other bubble teams and what they're going to have to do, because the Big Ten bracket did just drop. And guess what? If we're looking at, talking about the bubble teams, Rutgers got the double bye.
That's so insane, dude. How on earth did Rutgers get this double bye?
They are the 4 seed. They will be playing on Friday at the as the double bye. Iowa missed out. Ohio State missed out. Ohio State's the 6.
if you want to know why I got the double bye, it's because Ohio State lost to Nebraska at home. So
that is true. But, I mean, it's just crazy because, like, if you would have November 27th, go back in time. Rutgers has lost their last 3 games at DePaul, home to Lafayette, and at UMass. You're telling me this team is a top 4 seed in the Big Ten? No shot, I'm believing.
Well, luckily, the rack is in New Jersey and not in Indianapolis.
Yes,
so.
Right. I will probably project. So that means Iowa's the 5?
Iowa is the 5.
Yes.
Oh, they're gonna run them out of the... They're going to run them out of they don't play it at Lucas Oil, right?
It's in the field house.
Yeah. So
the Gainbridge field house.
It's in.
The Gainbridge field house. Thanks, corporate sponsor, for that.
Lame.
but going through, going through the rest of this bracket before we get into the purpose of this actual segment. Illinois is the 1. Either Indiana or Michigan. That's going to be a barn burner. A critical game. On Thursday to get things going. Wisconsin's the 2, but either Maryland or Michigan State. Purdue is the 3, with Ohio State right there within that particular part of the bracket. Ohio State will await either Minnesota or Penn State. And, of course, Iowa will await either Nebraska or Northwestern. And Nebraska ball. I think that's all I can really say.
They're
wild.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way
Two top 10 wins.
On the road? They were 1-16.
Not two top 10, two top 25.
They were 1-16 in conference 8 days ago. They woke up on Sunday at Penn State and won by 23. Then during the week, they won at Ohio State by 8. And then today, playing a team that had a chance to win their conference in a center where they very rarely lose at home. How many times did Wisconsin lose at home this year? Just twice. And they won. Just unreal. And, obviously, Johnny Davis going down hurts that a lot, but...
And now add this, too. Before they beat Penn State on the road to start the winning streak, they had not won a road game this year.
Oh,
at all.
No way.
At all. and they win the last 3 games in the schedule.
Alonzo Verge.
All away games to avoid being the final seed. Alonzo Verge had 26... with 6 assists and 5 boards.
Turned the ball over 5 times, too, and fouled out. I mean, just a confusing team.
He had a technical foul today, too.
There
Tough
you go.
Scene. But Fred Hoiberg, he's made some moves in March before.
Start this segment of bubble teams, I think it's perfectly right to start with the matchup between Michigan and Indiana, because I think whoever loses that game has no shot at making it in March.
Does that still hold up, though, with what Michigan...
Michigan in the bracket matrix was an 11 seed.
Yeah, I mean they've had some solid wins here in March.
You know what's crazy? I mean, just looking at this bracket matrix, it obviously hasn't updated from yesterday's games either, but Michigan and Memphis were both 11 seeds, and they won. Memphis obviously picked up a massive quad 1 win over Houston, and then Michigan wins today at Ohio State. I mean, maybe they jump over Miami and Notre Dame in the ACC and make that tournament a heck of a lot more interesting.
Woo! But let's go through the bubble teams and perhaps some of the work they need to do. And let's just start off with the teams we've just talked about. Indiana and Michigan. Obviously, it looks like that's a must-win game. But I'll pose a question for both of you guys. Does Indiana and Michigan, both of them, one of them, none of them, would they need the win against Illinois on Friday as well?
Indiana absolutely needs the win. I think they probably need to win two games, if I'm being completely honest. I think they probably need to win against Illinois, too.
What's different between Indiana and Michigan, though, John?
Indiana is currently in 30 brackets on the bracket matrix. Once again, not including their loss to Purdue.
No, I'm just talking about their resumes.
I mean, I haven't been talking about resumes. Let's look at Big Ten, though. And so Michigan's 34th in net, Indiana's 43, and that doesn't include Michigan's quad one win, which should jump them up. Indiana has one more win. They have one less loss. Michigan has one more quad one win. They're the same amount of quad two wins, the same amount of quad three and quad four losses.
Yeah, I want to find some. I want to get the comparison up on bracketologist.com to see the metrics right next to each other for both of these teams. So we can look at some of those numbers all day long. And from what I'm seeing here, obviously strength of schedule. Here's the big one. At a conference strength of schedule for Indiana is 315th. That's the big one right there.
It is tough.
That's the big one right there.
And I mean, I don't want to like point to just this one game, but in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, Michigan plays at UNC, who has had a really resurgent year. They've been very good. And then Indiana plays at Syracuse, who has had a really down year. That hurts their out-of-conference strengths of schedule a heck of a lot.
Yeah, especially when who you play in that challenge mattered more this year than anything else.
And no kidding with how the ACC played this year. And they both lost those games. Indiana had a chance to win that game, which is, of course, really hurting their resume. And Michigan really lost that game, which, you know, obviously hurts your resume, but a lot less than it hurts Indiana's resume. So, I mean, you could really, to be honest, you could point at that Big Ten ACC challenge comparing these two teams and saying, wow, I mean, these two teams, rough draw. None of them took advantage of it.
Yeah, very much so. And, I mean, that's good. That's a tough matchup for Indiana to have to win against Michigan. And then needing to win against Illinois as well. That's a tough situation for Indiana. And I'll just say this. Indiana needing two wins in the Big Ten tournament. I've seen this movie before. It does not play out well.
No, not of late.
It does not play out well.
Mike Woodson, his first chance to get into the NCAA tournament. We'll see if he can do it.
Yeah, that's going to be a very tough scenario for both of those teams. How about Rutgers? Getting the double bye into Friday. Should they get Iowa on that Friday? Do they need the win at all?
Yes. They need to win that game. They need another quad one win.
Yeah.
I think it's just they are in that tough situation where the net rank doesn't like them. The strength of record ranks in the top 50. The strength of schedule favors them. Obviously not the out of conference. Check the schedule rank because of some of the losses they've picked up along the way.
They almost lost at home to Penn State today.
Yeah. And that would have killed them.
Yeah.
That would have been another quad three. That would have been, I don't want to say the nail in the coffin, but that would have been pretty darn close.
It would have needed them to pick up two or three quad one wins in the Big Ten tournament. Of course, like Dom just mentioned, not at the rack in New Jersey,
yeah,
but in the field house in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's just going to be very, very tough for them to be able to pull off. It'll be tough for them to pull off one win, to be quite honest. But, I mean, just for the program, getting the double bye, it's just a massive achievement for them. And should the bracket play out the way it's expected to, they'll have another quad one opportunity. But let's say the crazy happens. Let's say a Nebraska ball or Northwestern find a way to pull off the upset. Then what? Does Rutgers need to get to the final as well and pick up that quad one win in the semis?
I'll say one thing. No team in this conference wants to play Nebraska right now.
Which is crazy. It's like,
yeah,
that's like even more insane than ASU, which once again, shout out Alonzo Verge. But so with the Big Ten tournament, of course, being the last game every year, if Rutgers is in that game, I think they're good. The committee will just slot them in. And then they'll say, all right, win, and you're an 11 seed, not first four. Lose, you're an 11 seed, first four. Just make it easier on themselves.
That's a pretty darn good...
I would agree.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty darn good analysis of that.
Because imagine they have 19 wins, they're playing in... Or no, they have 20 wins at this point. They're playing in the Big Ten Championship, and you keep them out. That's wild. That would be wild.
And if the net doesn't improve any, I know the committee has said they're not necessarily judging by net.
They just use the net as the tool for the quadrants.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm getting at, though. That's kind of where I was going with that. But if they keep them out, I know this wouldn't technically beat the precedent. That would set the precedent.
That'd be wild.
It would, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would basically tell bubble teams across the country, if your metrics aren't good, you got a lot of freaking work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we've got here. Now, the committee, they have shown, even just last year, they're not afraid to pull teams with not-so-good nets. The Michigan States of last year, Wichita State comes to mind, those two teams. I believe they were sub-70 in net as well, or at least sub-60. So it's not out of the imagination. But with the quad three and quad four losses that Rutgers have, it does sprinkle that doubt into their mind a little bit. Also, 4-9 on the road. We'll see if that comes back to bite them whatsoever. Carrying along within the bubble teams, the ACC tournament. Oh, my gosh. Brooklyn, New York. Oh, boy. This is going to be the fascinating ride for pretty much this entire tournament. North Carolina picking up the three. I would imagine they're good after the win at Duke.
Absolutely. I mean, what a game. We talked about this on our Twitter Spaces last night, which just like Dom mentioned, in case you missed what he said, we'll be on Twitter Spaces every single night, so make sure to find us on Twitter Spaces. If you follow at College Bonanza, at DMSir19, at Dom Contini, or at Hodel Sports, you'll be able to see those Twitter Spaces. But just absolutely wild that they were able to go in there and win. Obviously, it was billboard material for them to go and ruin Coach K's final game. I saw that Roy Williams and Dean Smith also lost their final Duke UNCs. So, I mean, Coach K just following in their footsteps. But, of course, I mean, like, Coach K deserves all the credit for building that rivalry. UNC was a fantastic program before that, and then really elevated Duke to UNC in rivalry, the best rivalry in college basketball. And that's where these programs have really established themselves as that best rivalry, is because of Coach K. So it's funny that he loses that as well.
Yeah, and this game really secured a spot in March, I think, for this UNC team, and secured a Player of the Year award for Armando Bancott. He's dominated all year, and this North Carolina team is going to be scary come the tournament time. So,
yeah, and if things go as planned, according to the seed list, North Carolina would be playing Virginia in a quarterfinal on Thursday. Let's move to Notre Dame. They have the 2 seed within the ACC tournament. They have the double bye. If things go as projected, they will play Virginia Tech, another team that is trying, that may be trying to go on a bit of a run themselves to try to get themselves into the field of 68. But for Notre Dame in particular, what do they need to do this next week to solidify their spot?
They need to win that first game.
They need to be playing on Saturday.
Ooh, play on Saturday. Okay. Well, I mean, it depends, because if you beat VT, that's a quad one win. That helps you out tremendously. If you don't play VT, then I think Dom's probably right. You probably need 2 wins and then play on Saturday. But I think that just beating Virginia Tech is good enough. Obviously, they don't control if they're going to play Virginia Tech. That does happen. It's quad one game. I think they're good.
Yeah, I would pretty much say.
To secure spots, they need to be on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I mean, to secure it, barring the impossible, not necessarily impossible, but barring some sort of crazy happening with Virginia Tech, because they got a lot of work to do themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That Virginia Tech team, they might be the team that absolutely has to play on Saturday.
Yep.
To find any way into the field of 68. Who knows? They may need to win the whole thing. They might need to, if we're just being completely honest.
They might.
I mean, the two quad three losses, only one quad one win, they may need to win the whole thing, if we're just being completely honest with ourselves here.
Yeah, losing at Clemson and their season by just 4 points is killer.
And guess what the 10th seed is?
Clemson.
Clemson. Ain't that fun for them. But I mean, it's not just that either. There's also quad three losses at home. The one game at home against NC State, on the road at Boston College. They've had their fair share of losses, and only the one quad one win to back up the resume. They got work to do themselves. But if we get another day Virginia Tech matchup in the quarters, that's going to get juicy in a hurry for them. Miami, the four seed. They are also kind of in a spot to where most of the bracketologists like them in, but not every single one of them. One of those teams that is on the right side of the bubble, but the lasting impression of that's bad could make things interesting for Miami, ranked 59th in net. Three quad three losses, but a 4-1 record in the first quadrant. If things go to plan, it's Wake Forest for them, who just missed out on the double bye. But if Wake Forest then loses to Pitt or Boston College, that's a whole other situation in and of itself. But what do you guys think Miami needs to do to solidify their spot?
Probably just win that first game, and especially if Wake Forest loses. But Wake Forest currently, by all measures, ahead of Miami. So Miami would definitely have to win that game. If not, they might be safe. Probably a destination to Dayton if they lose that first game. But if they lose it to either Pitt or Boston College, I mean, they're done.
Yeah, I would agree. If they just beat Wake Forest, if they meet Wake Forest, that should be enough. And again,
quad
they
one game.
Beat Duke before, and we'll see.
All right. So to move on over into the American, really the three teams involved here for tournament purposes, Houston, SMU, and Memphis. Memphis got the win against Houston earlier today, Sunday. Does Memphis have any more work to do? Obviously, they probably need a win on Friday. But after that, I would imagine they're in a good spot.
No, I think they're good. And they're already in the field as an 11 seed, like I mentioned earlier on this broadcast. And obviously, picking up that quad one win is going to move them up even more. So I think they're good. Mm-hmm. And just getting that massive win. I mean, just Houston, even though they don't have any quad one wins, any wins over any current tournament teams, just picking that up is so big for them.
Yeah, I don't think they need to do much more. And I think this team is very similar to that Trae Young team with Oklahoma. And I think that kind of has a Trae Young effect with the amount of stars on this Memphis team. So I think committee might just throw them in there just for more viewership. But that's a whole other conversation.
Well, let's continue our conversation of the bubble team within the Bonanza rank. We probably need to get the show pace going a little bit more here. So the Bonanza rank this week, continuing the bubble theme, the three most likely bubble teams to play their way into the field of 68. Teams that not necessarily are in as of now, but with a little bit of wins and a little bit of luck going their way, could play their way into the field of 68. My number three is going to be Dayton out in the A-10. Obviously, you're not going to get all kinds of quad one opportunities necessarily out in the A-10. Pretty much everything except for Davidson right now is quad two. But if VCU gets their net up, that's a quad one. Davidson holds firm, that is quad one. And so Dayton's got some opportunities. Can they take advantage of them and make a deep run into the conference tournament? We'll have to see. Number three from you, Mr. Stern.
Yeah, my number three is going to be VCU. Currently really right on that bubble. And VCU, they've played extremely well when they're not playing on the road. And I think that picking up a game against Richmond is going to be crucial for them. It's going to be a quad two win. And then they'll be able to face either Dayton or, I mean, presumably Dayton, and if they pick up that game, that'll be a quad one win for them there. So, or likely a quad one win. So, I think that VCU has a chance to play their way in.
Number three for you, Contini.
My number three is going to have an honorable mention with Arizona State. They're one of the hottest teams in the country right now, and a couple of luck goes their way. They may find their way in the tournament if they crown themselves Pac-12 tournament champions. But my number three for real is the Indiana Hoosiers, with them being able to pick up a win against Michigan and on the second round games, and then perhaps Illinois. Those are two big wins that not a lot of teams have the chance to secure. So if Indiana can do that, I think they can find themselves some marks.
My number two is getting the SMU. Either Wichita State or Tulsa is going to be coming their way in the quarterfinal. I don't think SMU is going to have any major trouble with either of those schools. If they are, they're in deep trouble. But a possible opportunity against Memphis would be big for SMU. That would be a huge day for them to really try and, you know, boost the resume, do what they can to make sure they are in good graces with the selection committee. It's kind of looking at things right now. They're at number 50 in the net. All the metrics are around that mark. Quad 3 loss, quad 4 loss. Couple of key ones on the board. And this Memphis team's one that SMU can beat. So that's a winnable semi if that's the case. Then a possible shot against Houston on Sunday would be very beneficial to SMU. And we'll see where that goes. I mean, we'll see.
There's they have a lot the best player happen in that tournament. They absolutely do, and Kendrick Davis. So
yeah, absolutely.
That'll be really fun. My number two team is going to be Notre Dame. Like we mentioned, probably just have to win that one game, no matter who it's going to be against. Obviously, if things go their way, it's going to be Virginia Tech. If they are able to get that quad one win, I think they're firmly into this field. They've earned this number two seed for a reason, and then especially if they get another opportunity against North Carolina, that would bode well for them.
My number two team is the Dayton Flyers. I just think they have a very good shot at doing some good things in this tournament with them already being Davidson. Dayton kind of got cut short. A unfortunate circumstance of COVID-19. I really hope this team finds themselves back in the field of 68.
My number one is going to be Virginia Tech. I actually think with the way the draw is lined up for Virginia Tech,
they have a really good draw.
They do. I think it's the best of any of the bubble teams that are playing within this particular next week. You can say what you want about SMU, but for Virginia Tech to have to play the extra game, Notre Dame, I think, is the best case opponent other than Miami. And I certainly think that Virginia Tech, if they get hot, they can play on Saturday to get themselves automatically in. But if it is Duke on that Saturday, I mean, we'll see where it goes. But I think Virginia Tech has a big opportunity to do themselves a huge favor this week, even if they don't win the ACC tournament. I think that if they impress enough against either Clemson or NC State, get the job done against Notre Dame, see who you get on Friday, North Carolina, Virginia. Either one of those schools would not be a bad opponent for you, particularly this North Carolina. Who knows? Virginia Tech gets top, they got a shot.
Yeah, if they avenge their loss to Clemson, then they turn around and they beat Notre Dame, who is currently trying to play their way in. They play North Carolina, who just basically played their way in with a win over Duke. And then they play someone in the final, whether it's Duke, whether it's Miami, or whether it's Wake Forest. They absolutely have a shot. I wrote them in as my team here before I realized they lost to Clemson, and I changed it up a little bit. How about Florida? Florida, they did just lose to Kentucky on Saturday, but we've seen time and time again Mike White do things in these tournaments that has been impressive. Obviously, losing to Oral Roberts was not a shining moment for him, but Florida, first-round matchup against Texas A&M. If they win that, they get Auburn, who has been fraudburn outside of Alabama. And I think that if they win that game, they have a chance to win against either Arkansas or LSU and play their way in to the championship. But if they get to the championship, I don't think they need to do anything else, and they'll be in the field of 68.
My number one team is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I said earlier they need to win on Saturday, or need to be out playing on Saturday. But I think if they do play, Virginia Tech, I think if they get one against them, that'll be enough for Notre Dame to get in the tournament.
All right, let's move on to our predictions. It's getting a little crazy, obviously, with games going on to determine the next state slate, which again picks every day on our Twitter at College Bonanza throughout the course of this bracket season. But if I could pull up the Georgia State score, that could really help.
I have it here.
You have it?
It is 57-55 with 5.5 to go.
Who's up?
Georgia State still leads.
Ooh, so it's a 2-point game, so it's tight.
Yeah. Appalachian State currently on a 12-2 run over the last 3 minutes, and have made 5 of the last 6 shots.
There you go. That'll be interesting there as Contini hits a contrarian there of App State, in case you missed that on our Twitter page. But
need it. Need it. I'm slowly catching back up to young Dom.
I've choked over the last couple weeks.
So. Getting that Longwood victory for me was clutch.
Yeah, Longwood just thrashing.
That was the classic emotional hedge, or just the hedge. Me saying Winthrop was going to win in my breakdown, and then saying Longwood was going to win when we picked them today. Perfect execution for me. I'll take all the credit for that.
Perfect.
Absolutely lovely. But again, updated records, updated picks every single day on our Twitter page. Don't want to overdo our time too much here in the studio, so we're going to try to go through this as quickly as possible here. The SoCon final, which is Chattanooga against Furman. I've got Chattanooga, but Contini has Furman. You still putting? Oh, there it is, Chattanooga for Mr. Sturgis. We talked about earlier, I don't think any of those directions is a bad direction whatsoever. The West Coast Conference semifinal between Gonzaga and San Francisco. Myself and Mr. Sturgis, I know I'm Gonzaga. You the same way, Contini?
I'm Gonzaga all day.
Gonzaga all day. That's quite the way to put that there. The A-Sun final, Bowerman and Jacksonville. We're all going with those Dolphins. One more time, the sound, please. Thank you very much.
Why is this game at Bellarmine? I mean, Jacksonville is just getting hand slapped left and right. Oh, that's brutal. Brutal.
Adversity.
Yeah, but you know what? The Dolphins thrive under adversity. They lost on Florida Gulf Coast senior day just so that they could bounce back.
The Patriot League final, Colgate against Navy. We are all going with Colgate on that particular one. One of the America East semifinals after a reseed, UMBC against Hartford. I'm with UMBC. Continues with Hartford. Stern?
So on KenPom, it has UMBC facing Binghamton. Of course, this is KenPom, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they reseeded that.
Yeah.
Because I honestly made that same mistake earlier today, if I'm going to be completely honest.
I'm going to hold off on making that pick just because I don't want to be making a wrong pick. But if they do face off, I will take UMBC.
Yeah, and I had to look a bunch of different plays, too. Vermont did say from their accounts they are playing Binghamton.
Okay. So
yeah, and I just wanted to double-check that to the ESPN app before we go any further. And they are also saying Binghamton and Vermont at 5 o'clock Arizona time, ESPN+. Plus.
Okay, I'll take UMBC then.
Yeah, ESPN+, good. Plus, March's best value. Let's see, where else are we going here? Big 12 first round, Kansas State and West Virginia. Continues going with West Virginia. Myself and Mr. Durham both have Kansas State. And that pick for me is according also to my bracket breakdown, which will be up in the next several days on our Twitter at College Bonanza. We're all going with Xavier against Butler in a Big East first round matchup. And then an ACC second round matchup between Florida State and Syracuse. Continues with Syracuse. Sturge with Florida State. I got no freaking idea what the heck I'm going to go there.
These two teams have been very unpredictable, but I will say this. Florida State is healthier now than they have been. Not in a long time, but just like in general. So I think that their health is going to help them here. They've won their last 3 games. I think they'll knock off Syracuse.
You can never count on coaches like Bobby Huggins and Coach Boeheim in March. So that's why I picked West Virginia and Syracuse.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I did give you an Ohio State jab earlier, so you can take the Syracuse jab at me. That's fine. I'm pretty sure yours was unintentional, though. One team has won 3 straight. The other team has lost 4 straight. And Leonard Hamilton has had much more success lately in the tournament than Boeheim has since he got that lucky Final Four run. Could shout out Middle Tennessee for busting everyone's brackets.
Oof. I think I still remember that too.
Yeah, and
I'm pretty sure I still remember that as well.
I mean, I remember being in my high school gym watching it with a bunch of Chads. Just on my phone, they're like, "No way this happened. No way this. Where are you? I didn't even know Middle Tennessee existed." And I'm like, "Oh, bro, come on. Are you kidding me?"
Oh my. Oh man. So again,
you don't know about Reggie Upshaw.
So again, updated picks, updated records every single morning at College Bonanza. We'll have all the latest for you on our Twitter page there. That's going to be it for us tonight. Hopefully we didn't overextend our time too much with some of the technical stuff that was going on here in the Bill Austin Radio Studio, which a lot of it happened minutes before we were slated to go on air, but it is what it is there. Mm-hmm. For Dom Contini on Zoom from Columbus, Ohio, and Dominic Stern with me in the Bill Austin Radio Studio, I'm Nicholas Hodel, leaving you for our listeners on BlazeRadioOnline.com with one shining moment to kick off your... I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, to end your Sunday night, kick off your week. I don't know. But regardless, one shiny moment. Have a very, very good week, everyone. Reminder, after party, Tuesday morning, 8 a.m., it'll be our Power Conference Tournament Preview comprehensive show. Hopefully we'll get you listening on that as well. Have a good week, everyone.